Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Catherine Swift, president of the Coalition of Concerned Manufacturers and Businesses of Canada. I'd like to think that you're surprised, but likely not. Great to have you.
Good to be back, Alex. And no, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Sadly.
I mean, there was a chance when we, and maybe you can kind of take me through it, there was a chance once upon a time where we could have gotten out of this under the Tory, John Tory's regime. But even he couldn't bring himself to change the way things work at City Hall.
Yeah, I remember that very, very well. Toronto is the only city in the entire province that retains privileged bidding for a number of unions, 10 unions in total. Most of that involves construction contracts, but it could involve other stuff as well. And what happened was Doug Ford, back in, I think it was 2019, left it up to the municipalities to choose whether they wanted to continue this restricted preferential procurement practice or open it up to everybody. And every other city said, let's let her rip. It's been estimated in Toronto's case, if they had open bidding, they could save up to $400 million a year, almost $500 million a year. Wouldn't have even have had to have much of a tax increase at all.
Well, if any. Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy, and it's all the union. You know, the unions don't do anybody any favors. I'm sorry. Most of them are in the public sector, or they do work for the public sector, which means that all of the rest of us, the vast majority of us who don't work for government, we get punished with higher taxes. And they sure love to pocket our money. There's no doubt about that. But when they say they're working on behalf of all workers, they're full of baloney.
Right. But I would also put the blame on John Tory. If anyone who could have done this, it should have been him.
I was shocked when he did that. And I remember I ran into him at some something or other, and I gave him a blast. But you see, at that point, he wanted to be reelected. And you don't want the unions, who have gorps of our money to spend during elections, you don't want the unions as an enemy. And, of course, that's the problem. Weak, cowardly politicians who cave into the unions, and the majority of us pay the freight for it, which is wrong. And this is why I know Anthony Fury, who you well know, and he wanted to opt to change this policy. So did Brad Bradford. To be fair, they were two that said, nope, we need open tendering. And unfortunately, they didn't win. But we need some more courageous politicians that actually act on the benefit of most of us, not a handful of people who are ripping the rest of us off.
But when did it become courageous to actually get the best deal? Like, I just don't understand. Like, what are they?
Logical.
It should not be courageous.
They'd have to deal with the wrath of the unions, and you know the unions go berserk if you do anything. Like, they, you know, if you sort of touch them, they'll accuse you of assaulting them or something. I actually had that happen to me once, so that was pretty funny.
Chances are you won. Am I right?
So much money to spend too. They got pocketfuls of dough, and again, most of it comes from our pockets, and so they'll spend it against somebody in an election. So somebody has to stand up to them to benefit, you know, the vast majority of us who are not beneficiaries. We're paying for it.
Right, but this is something that also could be done at the provincial or the federal level. If we want money from those two levels of government, and one way of savings would be this, right? So, in other words, it has to be mandatory.
The province could have made it mandatory, but they did not. We would have preferred they made it mandatory so that we couldn't see the opt-outs. And actually, I was quite pleased that even cities like Hamilton, which is union central, they went to open bidding. And, you know, good on them. They're saving money. It's estimated that since then they've saved about 20% a year. Big bucks. And when we see tax increases coming at us from all levels of government, I mean, the current federal government, of course, would never touch anything like this with a 10-foot pole because they're so far left they can't, you know, they can't cave into the unions anywhere near often enough, and they've got some stupid anti-replacement worker legislation on the books right now. If that comes to pass, we're going to see some really bad economic effects. But I've concluded that that's the goal of the federal government right now, is to ruin the economy.
Well, they're doing a very good job, right?
They are. The one thing they do very, very well, they lie a lot. They're very good at that. and they're really good at wrecking the economy.
Well, I would say that the tweet that the Prime Minister put out on, I think it was Thursday or Friday, saying that they have successfully lowered our cell phone bills. I was like, on what planet? I mean, come on. Like,
you know, though, Alex, I mean, do you remember a few months ago they talked about having some new communications person who's probably making a whack-a-dough, again, with our tax dollars, and they have definitely changed their strategy. They're pretending. I mean, Trudeau also came out recently and talked about how immigration is awfully high. How did that happen?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? You did it, Charlie. And yet they seem to be denying reality. And I guess there's still enough dumb Canadians that are going to go, oh, yeah, I guess, gee, that must have been somebody else that did that. Probably Harper, I would think. Maybe Mike Harris. You never know. But no, this is definitely a new approach to pretend they haven't been in government for the last 8.5 years.
I should mention, though, the other thing that's going to be on your radar is this plastics ban. Stephen Guilbeault is moving forward with more of his plastic ban, and there's big meetings at the United Nations, but they want them gone. Like, they want, like, they gave some ridiculous deadline. Like, they want a deal in place by the end of the year, but they want, in less than 20 years, all plastic gone.
Yeah.
All gone. And I'm thinking, well, how's that going to happen?
It's utterly ridiculous. It has gone up against reality, though, because you just ask them, what would you replace it with? Well, there's no good answer. I mean, the plastics in our society are everywhere. They're in virtually all consumer products to some extent. In medical, how would we have ever got through the pandemic without plastics? They do good things for the environment, like you put them in cars or planes instead of heavy steel, and you get more fuel efficiency. I mean, there's a million reasons for plastics. We saw what some of the replacements were during that stupid Guilbeault, initiated ban on plastic forks and straws and all that kind of jazz. They were not good. They were not good replacements. But furthermore, any of those replacements were worse for the environment than the plastics were.
Yeah.
So our theme is, we don't need to take plastics out of the environment, out of the economy. We need to take them out of the environment. And that's where most plastics are immensely recyclable. Some are virtually infinitely recyclable. You can recycle them again and again and again.
I use them over and over and over. I totally miss my plastic bags. I totally miss. You cannot do the kitty litter in a paper bag. It does not have the same. Does not have the same hold.
Yep. Well, the joke, too, is, though, maybe you don't get a plastic bag at the checkout counter. You take your dirty bacteria-laden cloth bag in. But you can go and buy 100 of them on aisle 5. You know, like, how consistent is that?
Well, so is the plastic, because you represent the plastics industry, so are they mounting yet another big fight?
Yeah, we're having quite the campaign. I'm heading to Ottawa this week. We've got taxis with advertising on them talking about all the incredibly useful applications of plastics, why there's a much better solution than banning, and banning is impossible. You'll never do it. And, of course, Canada's not the problem. It's been proven. We're a minuscule portion of everything, including, emissions and so on. The main problem is a handful of developing countries around the world that dump all their plastics into the ocean, into streams and so on, and it gets to be a big problem. Again, if you could do the recycling, that would be great. But say the UN banned it. I mean, that's the extreme. But say they did. Do you really think those countries are going to behave any differently?
No.
Really think there's going to be an impact? No, there is not.
No, they can't afford probably to go other routes. All right, stay tuned on that. Catherine, have fun in Ottawa.
Yeah, I always do.